Sri Aurobindo's poetry. So, I'll just read a couple of lines here. In this course, I would like to approach Sri Aurobindo's theory of poetry in terms of three factors: meaning, metrics, and music. Three M's. Each of which I believe to be unique to Sri Aurobindo. In a letter on poetry, he comments frankly on a certain criticism of his style of repeating so-called highlight words by saying, quote, "What of one who lives in an atmosphere full of these highlights? In a consciousness in which the finite, not only the occult, but the earthly finite, is bathed in the sense of the eternal, the illimitable infinite, the immensities or intimacies of the timeless." These are highlight words. Intimacies of the timeless, immensities. He sums up his defense by saying, "A new art of words, written from a new consciousness, demands a new technique." So the best way to explore this new technique, and also the unique domain of experience that it reveals, is to read the poems. We learn from the archives that in 1950, Sri Aurobindo revised 20 chapters of the Future Poetry. And in 1931, 32, 33, he wrote extensive letters about poetry and the development of higher mind poetry to his disciples, who were turning in poems to him daily. And around 1942, he wrote the book called On Quantitative Meter, at which time he was completely involved in writing both Savitri and Ilion. This is late. We normally think of Sri Aurobindo the poet as 1893, you know. But here he is, the master of the supramental yoga, in the 1930s and the 1940s, up until 1950, working constantly on poetry. So if we think back to 20 minutes ago when I said something about the importance of importance, the meaning of what we give importance to is what determines our civilization. And Sri Aurobindo gave absolute, paramount importance to poetry. Not sociology, not village development, not traveling around the world preaching the gospels of the Upanishads like most gurus do, not even meeting people. Let the mother do that. I have poetry to write. I have all the infinity of the divine force at my disposal, and I write poetry. So when I say that for me Sri Aurobindo's theory of poetry and also the content, because the theory includes content and form, both are unique to Sri Aurobindo. So he said once in the Future Poetry, he says, the mantra is a direct and most heightened and intensest and most divinely burdened rhythmic word, which embodies an intuitive and revelatory inspiration and ensouls the mind with the sight and presence of the very self, the inmost reality of things. This theory of mantra goes even beyond mantra, the traditional understanding of mantra. Sri Aurobindo's theory of mantric poetry goes beyond poetry and mantra. And then he says, this is a theory of poetry, which is very different from any that we now hold. So that's the support for my argument that his poetry and his theory are unique. This is a theory of poetry which is very different from any that we now hold. And then he says something interesting for us. Perhaps no thinking age has been so far removed from any such view. Any such view. No thinking age has been so far removed from this thing that I'm saying. This way of reading poetry, this meaning of poetry, this possibility of poetry. Then he says, but a greater era of man's living seems to be in promise. But first, there must intervene a poetry which will lead him towards it. So this is a theory of poetry as revelatory power and guide, a kind of intercessor whose purpose is to cleave the darkness, raise the earth soul to light, and bring down God into the lives of men. Quote. So I have explored Sri Aurobindo's prosody, his theory of sound, and we will talk a little bit about that in our course. For example, he says, if we are to get a true theory of quantity, which requires a great poetic force, and perhaps only the yogic force made it possible to write such poetry and to understand the principle of quantity, he says, the ear must find it. It cannot be determined by mental fictions or by reading with the eye. You cannot catch this principle of quantity, which is the lever for mantric transmission, by reading the page silently. It's not there. So this is one of the aspects of the theory of Sri Aurobindo's poetry that we can explore, but the best way to explore it is through the poetry itself. Another extraordinary thing about his vision that he explains in detail in these letters on poetry is that poetic transmission comes not from the mind, but through the mind, from the planes. The vital plane, especially. The mental plane, unfortunately. The overmind planes. So in his mind, there is not a thing that we do with our mind to create poetry. There is a consciousness of the plane itself, the vastitude of the vital, from which come experiences that are transmitted directly into speech. And so when you start to read his poetry, you begin to see realities that you never imagined or experienced through normal functioning, because they are coming from another consciousness, and the purpose of them is to enable you to see something which otherwise you're not going to see, probably, in this life, unless you undertake a sadhana like his. And that brings us to Savitri, the goddess of illumined speech, and to Ahana, and to Athena and Aphrodite. So I would like to read a few lines from Ilion. Listen for a moment to Aphrodite in a quarrel with Zeus. I am the womb of the world and the cause of this teeming of creatures. And if discouraged, I cease, God's world would lose heart and perish. How will you do then without me your works of wisdom and greatness? Hera, Queen of Heaven, and thou, O my sister Athena, Yes, I shall reign and endure, though the pride of my workings be conquered. What, though no second Helen find a second Paris? Lost, though the glories of form to the earth, though their confident goddess pass from a race misled and forgetting the sap that it sprang from. They are eternal in man, in the worship of beauty and rapture. Ever, while earth is embraced by the sun and hot with his kisses, and while a will supernal works through the passions of nature, me shall men seek with my light or their darkness. Sweetly or crudely. Cold on the ice of the north, or warm with the heats of the southland, slowly enduring my touch, or with violence rapidly burning. I am the sweetness of living. I am the touch of the Master. Love shall die bound to my stake, like a victim adorned as for bridal. Life shall be bathed in my flames and be purified gold or be ashes. I, Aphrodite, shall move the world forever and ever. Yet now, since most to me, Father of all, the ages arriving, hostile, rebuke my heart and turn from my joy and my sweetness, I will resist and not yield, nor care what I do, so I conquer. War I declare on you all. O my father and brothers and sisters, henceforth I do my will as the joy in me prompts or the anger. For this course, I will recommend purchasing the collected poems, the future poetry, and letters on poetry, literature, and art. Comes to about 400 rupees. And there will be additional poems that I reproduce, some of which can appear on the website and some which can't. And so there will be some charge for those. And in the course on evolution, there will also be handouts. I have one handout which is 92 pages that tells you everything which is now known scientifically about evolution, for example, which will be required reading. And so those printouts will also probably come to about 500 rupees before we get to the end. So that's just a warning that we'll have some expense. And if you want to contribute something to the University of Human Unity along with it, then you could plan to invest more than 500 rupees. But we will cover almost all of the significant, all of the most significant poems in this volume, plus a little bit from Savitri. And people can read, people can bring in other poems, we can enact dramatically some of the lines, we can work with Mikhail on movement and poetry, we can write poetry as we are inspired to do so from the different planes. I will bring in poetry from other poets who were students of Sri Aurobindo also. I have written two collections of poems that I will bring in. So we will have a poetic feast for 12 weeks. Very good, yes. And you could, perhaps you could create a form which could be easily filled in and used also by others so that we can give a kind of completion certificate.
Just counting.
I love certificates myself. As long as they represent something real. So everyone today can take a copy of these two introductions, which we can go further into on Monday and Wednesday. You can take the mic. Yeah, thanks.